Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am your host and tour guide, Yada. Each weekday morning here on GCN, I strive to expose the beguiling and destructive myths associated with religion and politics, patriotism and the media, military and economic schemes. If you'll listen, your eyes may be opened and you may change your mind towards some of these things. So instead of merely presenting the news, our mission will be to help everyone understand what is actually occurring behind the headlines. Then, as is our custom, during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms, by way of His covenant, through His always dependable Torah teaching. And hopefully, with His guidance, you'll be able to replace your religion with reason and engage in a relationship with Him. Our toll-free number is 877-300-7645, if you'd like to join us today in conversation. I was listening yesterday on a long drive, two-way long drive, to the radio, and there was a AP report out that fact-checked the president's State of the Union address. Turns out, nothing the man said was true. Now, I told you that yesterday. I just kind of summarized the whole speech by the man who has never held an honest job in his life, telling us that we're going to get her done is the summation of it. But today, fact checked everything the man said, and it turns out he was incapable of telling the truth. Everything he said was a lie. And when you get to the point where the President of the United States can lie about everything he says and does so glaringly in front of the world and does so to raucous applause, then the problem isn't the liar. The problem is the audience. The American people. That's who that speech was intended for. That says that he has so little respect for you that he thinks you are so ignorant and so irrational and so blinded by your political faith that you just don't care anymore. That it doesn't matter to you that he lies about everything. You know, he talked about creating 6 million new jobs when the number is actually about 1 million. And even that number is a gross number, not a net number, and doesn't take into effect all of the jobs that were lost. He talks about America being stronger than ever when it's more in debt than ever. He talked about cars getting twice the gas mileage because of what he's done when there hasn't been a change. He talked about global warming when, in fact, there is none. It went on and on and on. Everything the man said, every example that he used was fallacious. And again, the problem isn't so much the liar. It's that the liar has so little regard for the audience because the audience isn't willing to examine the evidence, isn't willing to be judgmental, and so the liar knows that they can get away with it. I'd like to return to the story that we have been covering, that's about Cardinal Ratzinger's resignation as Pope. And what I had told you is that it was obvious that Ratzinger resigned as Pope because of the realization now that is absolute certain that the Roman Catholic Church actively, purposefully, deliberately, tangibly did everything they could to protect priests who were sodomizing and raping young children and continuing to expose more and more young Catholic children to rapists, and that their only agenda was to protect their image so that the faithful would not leave them, so that the faithful would continue to be beguiled into believing that they somehow were a righteous organization that had some claim to their souls. And they did it only to maintain their credibility without any care whatsoever for the victims. In fact, they put the victims through greater hell by doing everything they could to deny them, to get them to cover, to join the cover-up, abusing them further. It is amongst the most heinous expressions by any institution in the history of humankind. And when these documents became public, the world came to know that Ratzinger was up to his eyeballs along with a cardinal and a bishop in this. That was the fallout, a religious flush, and that's why he left. Now, as evidence of this, Ratzinger told cardinals and bishops yesterday that what I'm going to do with the rest of my life is hide from the world. Listen to this brief story. It's from Reuters. Pope Benedict, who is soon to be back to Cardinal Ratzinger, will see out his life in prayer hidden from the world. By the way, prayer. Think of that for a moment. Yahweh, who is God, by the way, told us that the prayers of those who are not Torah observant are an abomination to him. Now, you might say that's harsh, that God would say that the conversation of someone who doesn't observe the Torah is vile to God. But that's really not an appropriate response. That's like a child looking up at a rescuer. Say a child has deliberately and stupidly done something that put themselves into harm's way, and they did so over and over and over again, and you had told that child that there would be a consequence of them not paying attention to your instructions. And yet they said, I don't want anything to do with your instructions. In fact, I don't like your instructions. The world has told me that your instructions are mean-spirited. I don't like you. I don't like your instructions. I'm going to choose to believe in other things entirely. And you get yourself into a pickle because of that. And then you turn to the person that provided those instructions to keep you safe. And you start praying that, oh, boy, I really need your help now. Now I was going to say, why didn't you read the instructions? Not only why didn't you read the instructions, why did you join up with and place your faith in an organization that demeaned my instructions? Well, folks, if you're a Christian, particularly if you're a Roman Catholic, you're part of an organization that has overtly demeaned Yahweh. You can't even say his name. Has corrupted everything Yahusha stood for and did. And every meeting that God has established with humankind, he said, no, let's disregard those. Every instruction that Yahweh has given to us, the Roman Catholic Church has spit upon. And you think that God is going to view the prayers of a man that was instrumental in aiding and abetting priests to be pedophiles, to sodomize and rape little children? Do you think God's going to listen to the prayer of that kind of an individual? You know, what do you think God is? Of course not. You know, the only sad thing about this, we're going to report this news and we're going to stay with this story because it's important for people to know that the Roman Catholic Church, the wellspring from which the religion of Christianity sprung, is rotten to the core. Now, is that going to save any Roman Catholics? Of course not. Is it going to save any devout Christians? Of course not. Because evidence and reason don't matter to the overtly religious. But there's a lot of people out there. You know, we talked to a caller yesterday who had left the Roman Catholic Church because he realized it was full of hypocrisy. There's a lot of people out there. In fact, the majority of the people that I have come to know through email sent to yadaya.com or the introduction to God.org, the majority of them came to realize that their religion, most of them Roman Catholics, was rotten. So there are lots of people who are beginning to open their minds and to think. And that's how we're going to begin our second hour. We're going to return to that passage which God said, you know, my instructions, my Torah, my teaching is really easy to understand if you're open-minded. Which, of course, you're not if you're religious. Well, anyway, this Reuters article says Pope Benedict will see out his life in prayer, hidden from the world. He said on Thursday in his first personal comments based upon his plans since he stunned the Roman Catholics by announcing his retirement. His remarks, in a voice that was hoarse at times, followed Monday's resignation notice, which spoke of a life dedicated to prayer. Let me tell you something, pal. Don't waste your time. All you're going to do is dedicate your life to being hidden from the world because you don't want the world examining what you have done. You don't want to be embarrassed by your own words and deeds. This is the man that spent more than a decade over the Office of Church Doctrine, which used to be the old Inquisition office, whose primary purpose during that time was deliberately concealing all evidence of priests being engaged in abusing children so as to protect the church's image. That was his job for a decade prior to becoming pope. He doesn't want the world to examine that. Now, it says that unscripted to thousands of priests, which is interesting. You know, if you can't speak unscripted, then there is a lack of understanding that underscores your message. You know, one of the reasons that on a program like this we'd like to take callers' questions. The reason that the vast preponderance of what you hear in this program is unscripted is if you have to prepare and then read everything you have to say, what it says is you don't understand the material well enough to communicate it extemporaneously to your audience. And that's really true with these idiots. Most everything they say is read. Doesn't matter to those who listen because they're swept up in the religious mystery and the pomp and ceremony that surrounds these idiots. So anyway, an unscripted message to thousands of priests, he turned out to be his farewell address. He outlined a cloistered life once he steps down. Quote, "Even if I am withdrawing into prayer, I will always be close to you all, and I'm sure you'll be close to me, even if I remain hidden to the world." Why would this man want to be hidden to the world unless he had something to hide? And indeed he does. We'll return to Shattering Myths and the rottenness that is Roman Catholicism after the commercial break. To Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. If you would like to engage in this discussion, our number is 877-300-7645. It is interesting here, speaking of things that indicate knowledge of fraud, the Vatican has already said that Ratzinger will not influence the election of his successor. Now, that's interesting. If you really believed that you were God's vicar on earth, that you were speaking from him, that you were inspired, and that your decisions, your statements were therefore infallible, as the Roman Catholic Church protests is true of their Pope, then you would simply say, well, as God's spokesperson, it is this person that I know that God has chosen to succeed me. And by the way, if you were physically weak and you knew that you were chosen by God to speak for him, you'd simply say, you know, whatever strength is necessary, God, for me to communicate this this message, to do this job on your behalf, you supply, and we'll continue on. Now, I know a little bit about this because from a mental capacity, I am weak, flawed. And I was asked to expose and condemn Islam. And I did 2,500 hours of talk radio programs, all unprepared, all unrehearsed, exposing and condemning Islam. I knew that I was incapable of doing that. So, you know, I did the thing that this Pope would have done if he was being honest. I made a deal with God. Said, tell you what, all right, right. You, for some reason, you want a nincompoop to work in this regard. Happy to oblige. You know my faults. You know I'm not qualified to do it. So, if that's what you want, I who am I to say no? But you've got to supply the answers. You've got to, I know you don't like to interfere in free will, but we're not talking about my free will here. You're talking about what you want done. Make it possible. I'm going to be reliant here. So we did. 2,500 hours talk radio. And I'm going to tell you, I'm unqualified in it, and yet the results were spectacular. So it you know, that he's capable. And so as a pope, you would never put yourself in a position where you say, I can't because I'm weak. You would say, we can because I'm weak. He can in spite of my weaknesses, but never I can't, unless you know you're really on your own, which he does. But anyway, he says he's not going to take any part in influencing the election of his successor. By the way, he's already taken a complete part in influencing his successor, because more than half of the cardinals that will choose the next pope were elevated to the position of cardinal, wearing their red robes as a direct result of his decisions. So he will be the only person really there voting. Now, experts are all worried about what his title is going to be when he resigns. Schmuck, I think, would be a good one. Liar. Father of the damned might work well. Whether he's going to wear the white of a pope, the red of a cardinal, or the black of an ordinary priest. After the new pope, this is a quote from a theologian on the subject. After the new pope is elected, he should attend the new pope's installation with the other retired cardinals and pledge his allegiance to the new pope. Of course, they're not pledging their allegiance to God. They don't know him, but they'll pledge their allegiance to the new pope. Benedict's papacy was rocked, this Reuters article, by crises over the sexual abuse of children by priests in Europe and the United States. Oh, not by just there. Why would you stop there? There's been case after case in South America. And the worst case of all is the one in Mexico. There have been the largest ongoing case right now is in Australia. Yeah, it's everywhere. Everywhere the Roman Catholic Church has a presence, there are sexual abuse scandals of significant magnitude. Here I've been talking about the one in Los Angeles. There is a series on television. This was just sent by a listener of the program to me. He said there's a program on HBO. It's a documentary called Mia Maxima Culpa. It first aired on February 4th. Here's a description of the program. Mia Maxima Culpa, Silence in the House of God, investigates the secret crimes of Father Lawrence Murphy, a charismatic Milwaukee Roman Catholic priest who abused more than 200 deaf children in a school under his control. It goes on and on and on. It's everywhere around the world. We'll return to this story when Shattering Myths resumes in a moment. Hello, welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. I was just perusing the email that a friend sent me, Mia Culpa, Mia Maxima Culpa, Silence in the House of God. There is this myth in the world, one perpetrated by churches, that a church is a house of God. And I can assure you that God has never been in a church. I can assure you there are no Christians in heaven. I can assure you that the Roman Catholic Church is second perhaps only to Islam in terms of being the most distant institution on the planet from God. They have done the most to corrupt God's message, to spit him at him, to demean him. And as this HBO documentary says, even the Roman Catholic Church knows that when they abuse little children, and they a lot of this begins to take place in the confessional, that they call it soul murder, and it is. But it's not just the abuse of children in the confessional that is soul murder. It's the whole of the institution. It's the whole of the institution of Christianity. Every soul that has come to embrace Christianity, whether it has been because their parents dragged them to the church or they chose it on their own, that soul has died. It is soul murder. What religion is. Political and religious dependence is soul murder. God hates religion. He wants you to walk away from it. It's the first requirement of the covenant. And one of the reasons we do this first hour is so that you understand how rotten religious institutions are, how rotten political institutions are. You know, it's a, going back to what we began this conversation on, but after I talked about the fact check of the president's speech, his State of the Union speech, Scott Googled it, and he just doubled over laughing. I mean, everything the man said was untrue. Well, the same thing is true with Roman Catholicism. Everything they teach, everything, is untrue. Most of it's the antithesis of the truth. Going over this story, it says, you know, Benedict's papacy was rocked by a crisis over sexual abuse of children and priests in Europe and the United States. We've covered the fact that it's a worldwide scandal. Then this is what Reuters has to say, most of which preceded his time in office but came to light during it. Absolutely untrue. The evidence for priestly abuse mostly came to light when Ratzinger was head of the Office of Church Doctrine, which is the old office of the Inquisition. And he played the central role in Roman Catholicism of orchestrating the cover-up. It came to light in the office that he held, and he was the one who turned out the light. He can't be exonerated here. He is the most guilty person on earth. If you were to look right now, and who is the single most stained soul on this earth, the soul most responsible for the massive amount of human suffering, and that's because of the gravity of the crime of pedophilia, the single worst human being on this earth, the most culpable, is Cardinal Ratzinger, the soon-to-be former pope. That's why he's going into hiding. If only he could hide from God. This goes on to say his reign also saw Muslim anger after he compared Islam with violence. Boy, can you imagine being so stupid that when somebody says that Islam is promoting too much terrorism, when Muslims are responsible for 99.9% of the terrorist acts in this world, viewing that as a problem. And of course, this guy waddled all over himself and backtracked after he said it. But the reality is Muhammad was a terrorist. Good Muslims are terrorists. Muslims perpetrate 99% of the terrorist acts in the world. All you need to know about Islam is what it inspires. If you don't hate Islam for what it inspires, the abuse of women, which the Roman Catholic Church doesn't have any problem with, of course, oppression, deadly violence, and utter poverty of all of those who are infected by this disease. Jews were upset over the rehabilitation of a Holocaust denier. Now, that was very minor. The reason that Israel says good riddance is because when this pope traveled to Israel, he wouldn't even call the place Israel. He only referred to it as the Holy Land, and he spent all of his time saying that the Jews were the victimizers and the mythical people known as Palestinians were the victims, when the opposite is true. And, of course, God's side is clearly known. God actually takes sides as it relates to Israel. It's the only place he does so in the world. Then, of course, there was the scandal over the church's business dealings, which were all corrupt, financially reprehensible, being leaked by the butler. And so rather than dealing with the fact that the church was financially corrupt, the butler was thrown in jail. Now, he said on Wednesday that he was sustained by the certainty that the church belongs to Christ, who will never stop guiding or caring for it. All right. So was the church guided by Christ when he was over the institution of doctrine and aided and abetted pedophile priests so that ever more children would be sodomized? Was that Christ guiding him? Was it Christ guiding him when they decided that that God's name, Yahweh, could never be spoken in a Roman Catholic church? Was it Christ guiding them when they celebrate Easter, which is a pagan holiday, and ignore and, in fact, demean Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits? Was it Christ guiding them when they ignored the first of the seven instructions written on the second of two tablets regarding the fact that the Shabbat, the seventh day, is set apart so that they can worship a God that they call Lord, which is Satan's title, on the seventh, on the first day of the week, as opposed to the seventh? What part of that? When they don't even know his name and won't say his name as Yahusha, is that the guidance of God? When they use a title that isn't even remotely associated with his, a Greek title as opposed to a Hebrew title, is that being guided by him? When they demean the Torah, which Yahusha said was the seminal document in humankind, it was the gift of life, it was the doorway to heaven, is that being guided by him? What part of this miserable institution's history, when they put the sun god obelisk in the middle of the Vatican, was that when they were being guided? When Benedict the Ninth held homosexual orgies in the Vatican, was that being guided by him? When they lied about Saint Peter, who is actually not a saint at all, his name is Shimon. When they misnamed him and mischaracterized him and then claimed a mythical seat that belonged to the mythical person as theirs, and they claimed to own the keys of heaven, lying all the way up and down, was that following him? When they called Christmas the second holiest day on their calendar in honor of a pagan holiday designating the birth of the Son of the Sun, instead of celebrating Yom Kippurim and Sukkah, do you suppose they were following him then? When God said, don't call anyone father, and they named their clerics fathers, were they following him then? When God said he is one and they speak of a holy trinity, were they following him then? Which of these teachings were they following? When they speak on behalf of Paul, who Yahweh and Yahusha identified as a false prophet, the wolf in sheep's clothing, were they listening to him then? When he said that they were the seat of Satan, that they were married to the Lord, which is Satan, Jezebel, the whore of Babylon, he said they were dead, and yet they continued to beguile. Were they listening to him then? Well, let me tell you with absolute certainty. The Roman Catholic Church, which, by the way, the word church has no position whatsoever in Yah's testimony. It's the name of a pagan sun goddess. His word is Mikra. Mikra was the basis of the word we dissected in yesterday's program. Mikra means to read and recite. Remember Scott's answers? We ask a series of questions, and you shamar Yah's testimony by reading it. You listen to God's testimony by reciting it. Well, that's what Kara means. And Kara then goes on to say that by reading and reciting, you find that you've been invited to meet with God and to be called out of this world. Mikra, in the plural, Mikra, is what God created. That's the word that has been corrupted to bear the name of a pagan sun goddess, Shersh, the daughter of Helios. Everything these buffoons have done has been to twist, to corrupt, to counterfeit, and to cover up Yahweh's testimony. It's hard to imagine God hating any institution more than the Roman Catholic Church or its stepdaughters, Protestant Christianity, unless it is to despise the overtly satanic Islam and the perverted and argumentative rabbinical Judaism. But let me tell you for absolute certain, there is no association whatsoever between God and the Roman Catholic Church. They may call their buildings houses of God, but let me assure you, there is no association between God and their buildings. None. If you want to go to the furthest place away from God, if you want to hide from God and hide from humankind as this Pope wants to do, just hang in a Roman Catholic Church. You're certain not to be bothered by him there. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We will return with the story of Thomas Curry and Roger Mahoney, the bishop, the cardinal, and then Ratzinger, the pope, as we consider the religious flush after the commercial break. To the final news segment of Shattering Myths. We'll continue with a scriptural segment after the top of the hour news. But returning to the story on Roman Catholicism, let me share with you what was written in a Los Angeles Times article that came out the day of the release of the documents that were court-ordered from the $650 million settlement that the Roman Catholic Church participated in for reimbursing the victims of priestly pedophilia just in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. It reads, it's hardly a problem. Who doesn't like to be judgmental? I mean, that's the crime that that you get fired over. But he says, or she says, it is hardly a surprise that Catholic officials have been fighting for years to prevent the public from seeing this evidence. Just as they fought for decades to conceal the priests themselves. These records provide clear evidence that predator priests weren't protected due to mere negligence on the part of the church officials, but rather out of an active malice towards the rule of law and to justice. Imagine that. This is the Los Angeles Times, second or third most prestigious newspaper in the United States. Hardly a surprise that Roman Catholic Church have been fighting for years to prevent the public from seeing this evidence. Just as they fought for decades to conceal the priests themselves. These records provide clear evidence that predator priests weren't protected due to negligence on the part of the church, rather than out of active malice towards the rule of law and justice. May I say that that doesn't even do it justice. Active malice towards the victims. Active malice towards the faithful who are paying the bills. The letters in question here have only been revealed because they were part of a civil lawsuit against the Catholic Archdiocese. They weren't released as part of an ongoing criminal case or investigation. I think that does a lot to justify and validate the use of civil lawsuits against Catholic churches. Without them, how much evidence would continue to be hidden or even destroyed. Now, this was a civil case brought by the victims of priestly pedophilia in Los Angeles. In the confidential letters, and by the way, the reason that politicians aren't willing to bring criminal cases is because Catholics represent too large a voting bloc. That's why. The union between Catholicism and politics is strong. So that's why. In the confidential letters filed this month as evidence in a civil court case, Curry proposed strategies. This would be Bishop Curry. Proposed strategies to prevent police from investigating three priests who had admitted to church officials that they had abused young boys. Curry suggested to Mahoney, that would be Cardinal Mahoney, that they prevent them from seeing therapists who might alert authorities, and that they give the priests out-of-state assignments to avoid criminal investigations. I've read this evidence. It makes you sick. In fact, even Gomez, the new potentate of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, he says, yeah, you read it, you're sick. Makes you want to throw up. One such case has previously received little attention is that is of Peter Garcia, who admittedly preyed on young children for decades. His favorite prey was undocumented children in the Spanish-speaking parishes. After Garcia's discharge from New Mexico Treatment Center for pedophile clergy, Mahoney ordered him to stay away from California. Quote, stay away from California for the foreseeable future in order to avoid any legal accountability. Quote, I believe that if Monsignor Garcia were to reappear here within the archdiocese, we might very well have some type of legal action filed in both criminal and civil sectors, end quote. The archbishop wrote to the treatment center's director in July 1986. So there is actually a treatment center for pedophile popes, and here Curry, who was a bishop, an archbishop, wrote the treatment center and said, don't release him. If you release him, you can release him, but don't let him come back here, or we'll get caught.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity.